What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chasing Clarity Health and Fitness Podcast. This is your host, Brandon DeCruz, and today is episode 92, where we're going to discuss the topic of nutritional periodization and how to use a periodized approach to nutrition to potentiate progress and physique development. So I hope everyone has had a productive first week of the new year and is starting 2024 off on a strong note. I got to say, we're 1 week into the year, so this is Monday, January 8th that I'm recording this podcast. And one thing that I really like about the new year, which I know is going to be a little bit odd for many people to hear, is I find it exciting that there's so many new individuals that are going to the gym during this part of the year and are trying to make health and fitness a high priority in their lifestyle. I know that many times those of us who are, fitness professionals or hobby builders or just fitness enthusiasts in general, like gym rats, we can find packed gyms to be a headache. But if you're someone who feels this way, I encourage you to shift your mindset and realize that we all started somewhere and we were all beginners at one point in time. And starting a new routine, a new program, a new habit, it's usually the most challenging in the beginning. It's a challenging time to really get over that hurdle. So we should encourage and really be open to those that are trying to get into the gym in an attempt to better how they feel, how they look, how they perform, and how they function, and to experience the life-changing effects fitness has had on our lives for themselves. And so embarking on a fitness journey is something that can have positive effects on so many aspects of your life besides just your body. Like, of course, improving your body composition is going to have like the cosmetic benefits. However, improving body composition will also improve your health and longevity. It'll boost your self-confidence and self-esteem. And there are many benefits that go far beyond that. And this is due to the fact that the process of successfully transforming your physique teaches you so many invaluable lessons that you can apply to succeed in other aspects of your life unrelated to fitness. And so, in order to change your body, you need to develop discipline, you need to develop consistent habits, productive behaviors, among many other qualities, which you utilize daily to get closer to your physique-related goals. And by using the consistency, the focus, and the discipline you've ingrained and reinforced during your fitness journey, and then shifting over and applying those same traits and habits to personal development, business, your relationships, and anything else in life that you want to excel in and get better at, your likelihood of succeeding in those other endeavors will exponentially increase. And this is why I encourage my clients who range in every background from, I work with professional athletes and competitive amateurs, to fitness enthusiasts, to busy, working professionals and moms and dads. So all view fitness as something that goes far beyond just improving your body from a physical perspective. Because if you're able to change your body, you can undoubtedly change your life for the better, which is why it's so important to take the lessons you learn in the gym and in the kitchen and apply them to the many other areas of your life that you wish to improve upon. So I just wanted to leave you all with that perspective because 2024 shouldn't just be about building our bodies and bettering ourselves physically, but also looking to improve in other aspects and other areas of our life so that we can have this ripple effect where we take the principles that we integrate to be successful in fitness and with our body composition and with our nutrition and many of the other aspects, sleep, stress management, things of that sort, that help us on a physical level to manifest the physique that we want, that we have the vision for. And we should apply those same principles, those same lessons, those same characteristics to other aspects of our lives. Okay, so on this week's episode of the show, I want to discuss periodization, but in the context of nutrition and how we set up our approach to achieving different physique-related goals and outcomes such as fat loss maintenance, and muscle growth. And I find that when many, when I say the term periodization, many automatically think of training periodization. And this is because training periodization is an approach that many within the fitness space and those that are hypertrophy focused, so muscle growth focused, are most familiar with. So training periodization has been defined by Buford et al. As the deliberate manipulation of training variables to maximize adaptations, which essentially means planning our approach to training in a manner that results in better performance over time based on a phase-specific goal. And when it comes to training periodization and program design, I personally will manipulate training variables like volume, relative intensity, aka effort, load, rep ranges, and frequency to progress the training stimulus over time to ensure my clients are continuing to make progress from a body composition perspective. But I also like to use it as a way to manage my clients' training-induced fatigue levels. However, I also apply the concept of periodization within how I set up and how I design my clients' nutritional approach and their diets, as I believe the best method for body composition improvement is to marry our approach to nutrition and fueling with our approach to training. And by pairing both, I've been able to help my clients get to their physique goals in a much more effective and efficient manner. And there's also a lot of crossover between what periodization allows us to achieve within our training and our nutrition programs, which I find many neglect and don't realize, which is why they often will periodize their training programs, yet they don't periodize their approach to nutrition, which causes them to leave gains and progress on the table. And one aspect of training program design that's heavily considered from a periodization perspective is what's referred to as the fitness fatigue model, which posits that when we train, we generate two outcomes, which are an increase in our fitness levels, so our ability to perform an exercise or our strength adaptations, things of that sort, but we also see an increase in our fatigue levels. And in the fitness fatigue paradigm, we find that as fatigue accumulates over the course of a training cycle, and as a result of being engaged in prolonged period of hard progressive training, it can max our fitness, meaning it can suppress our ability to continue making performance improvements in the gym. And in order to mitigate and to manage the performance decrements brought about by the accumulation of fatigue, I'll utilize different methods such as deload weeks or autoregulation into my training programs to lower fatigue levels and also to improve recovery capacity, performance, and the ability to adapt and respond to our training. However, this concept of periodization to maximize outcomes and manage fatigue is also something I look at and use from a nutritional perspective in terms of how my clients are responding to their diet, especially during a fat loss phase, because as dietary fatigue accumulates, it can often result in two different outcomes. So often it'll result in their adherence dipping and developing diet-induced metabolic adaptations, both of which slow down their rate of physique progress. So on today's episode, I want to cover nutritional periodization and why you should be using a phasic approach to your physique development, because it's not only a topic that's way overlooked in this space in comparison to training periodization, but I also have seen this provide a profound benefit to the clients that I've utilized it with. And oftentimes, we're able to create a whole year-long plan or six-month-long plan where one phase goes into the other, and it's really periodized in a manner that really potentiates their progress as well as their motivation. And one of the number one questions I receive is whether diet or training is more important when it comes to transforming one's physique. And in all honesty, I believe both are equally important. And I've seen that in order to attain the best results possible, a client needs to have both their nutrition and training programs periodized and approached in a strategic manner. However, the reason why I mostly cover nutrition-related topics on this podcast is because the vast majority of clients that come to me, they love to train and they have been doing so consistently and they have no problem sticking to a training program as their training is the part of their physique development they enjoy the most. However, many of them don't have the same experience, the same knowledge, and the same skill set when it comes to not only constructing a well-balanced nutrient-dense diet, but then also executing their nutritional phases in a manner that's periodized for their goals. So that's why I found that the vast majority of the audience, benefits when I focus the information I provide around nutrition, as often nutrition is the biggest bottleneck holding many back from achieving the lean muscular physique they desire and making the type of physique progress they're aiming for. And seeing as nutrition is often the most common limiting factor and many individuals' abilities to successfully change and improve their body composition, that's why I spend so much of my time and energy focused on educating on nutrition-related topics such as energy balance, hunger management and appetite regulation, nutrient density, food quality and micronutrition, nutrient timing and proper fueling, and on nutritional periodization, which is what we're going to cover today. So for those of you who have yet to dial in your nutrition or have yet to take a periodized approach to your nutritional phases, I think it's important to touch on why nutrition is so essential and beneficial and why you should consider doing so if your goal is to lose body fat, gain muscle, improve your ability to perform in the gym, enhance your recovery capacity, and improve upon the way you look, perform, feel, and function. So proper nutrition serves as the foundation for everything that we do within our physique improvement and health and fitness journeys, as every single one of us needs to eat. Yet it's the area that the vast majority of individuals struggle to do in a manner that suits their goals. And an intelligent approach to nutrition provides us with the necessary energy to fuel productive and progressive training sessions and the vital nutrients needed to recover from the stimulus that we've created and induce upon our bodies in the gym. Without proper nutrition and adequate fueling, you'll never be able to maximize your training performance and thus your body composition progress. Because at the end of the day, you cannot out-train a bad diet, which is why there are so many individuals who you see training their asses off year in and year out. They're always in the gym and they've been in the gym for years, yet their physiques never seem to improve or really get past the intermediate stage. And if you have very specific physique goals, such as fat loss or muscle growth, you get to these goals without manipulating nutrition. So in the context of losing body fat, you can't lose body fat without a calorie-controlled diet that puts you in a deficit for a continuous period of time. So that's what you need to focus on during a fat loss phase. And also, you cannot build muscle without adequate fueling and protein intake during a muscle building phase. And even if we go far beyond just your physique-related goals and look at health, nutrition is a key principle and lever for improving your health, which underlies your ability to transform your body. As you guys know, I always say this, but a healthy body is a responsive body, which is another thing we dug into in last week's podcast. So, although I believe the best approach is one that places a heavy emphasis on combining different pillars such as proper nutrition, progressive resistance training, and regular daily movement, I believe many would benefit the most from dialing in their diet, as it's often the anchor that's holding them back from building the best version of themselves. So before we get into the meat of the topic for today, I think it's really important to define exactly what nutritional periodization is so that everyone out there has a good idea of what I'll be referring to when I'm discussing this topic throughout the course of this podcast. So nutritional periodization can be defined in several ways. There are two definitions from the scientific literature that I find encompass this strategy and this principle the best. So in a 2017 review published in Sports Medicine, they define nutritional periodization as the planned, purposeful, and strategic use of specific nutritional interventions to enhance the adaptations targeted by individual exercise sessions or periodic training plans, or to obtain other effects that will enhance performance in the longer term. Another way to encompass nutritional periodization has been defined by Dr. Trent Stellingworth as matching the appropriate energetic and macronutrient demands of different training phases within a yearly periodized training plan. So nutritional periodization is something all of us can use to our benefit within a week, and then we can also use it within and across different goal-specific phases. So for example, I often will periodize my clients' nutrition on three different time scales. So the first time scale is on a microcycle basis, meaning within the day, where I'll utilize different nutrient timing strategies around training, especially to fuel progressive training sessions and enhance the recovery abilities. Next, I do so on a mesocycle basis, meaning within the training week itself, where I'll periodize their nutrition on training and non-training days. And then on the last site, the last phase or time scale, it'll be on a macrocycle basis, meaning within the phase as a whole and then also between phases. So with nutritional periodization, I'm looking to periodize and optimize what are called the three T's of nutrition, which include the total amount of energy and macros a client requires for their body composition related goal, the type of foods that will encompass their diet, from a nutrient density, a food quality perspective, a macronutrient composition perspective, and then also the timing of their nutrients, which are organized using meal and nutrient timing strategies. So you may be asking yourself, what is the benefit of periodizing our approach to nutrition? So I'll tell you, I use nutritional periodization to create a phasic structure for clients where each phase has a specific goal, which I cater that individual client's nutrition and training programs towards achieving. So most have no periodization structure to their attempts at improving their body composition, especially from a nutritional perspective, which is why it's so common to see individuals jump from diet to diet, hop from one training program to the other, and just spin their wheels where they really go nowhere and just waste their time. And the benefit of taking a periodized approach is that it provides us with a structure to work with that allows you to get the most effective results for the goal you're working towards within a specific phase, but it also provides us with a longer-term plan where each phase leads into one another and potentiates the progress and improvements you get over the course of a year or longer time scale. So next, I want to discuss how I use nutritional periodization to transition between different goal-specific phases. This is something I utilize myself, and then I also utilize with my clientele. And so one of the main reasons why I take a periodized approach to nutrition is to be able to get better results by structuring the phases I take my clients through in a manner where each one builds upon the other, so they're better able to continue making progress rather than us just staying in one phase and running that on repeat for the entirety of our time working together. And I find that many either overuse one phase or they stay within it for far too long, especially when it comes to dieting for fat loss, because they think or they have this mindset that the best way to get to their body composition goals is to just continue doing what they've always done in an effort to continue or to continue making progress. But that's not always how it works. And what you have to realize is you can't do the same things year round and expect a different, let alone better result. Not only is this an ineffective way of going about any physique goal, It's an unhealthy method as there are inherent drawbacks that come along with pursuing the extremes of fat loss or muscle gain for a prolonged period of time. Our bodies are extremely adaptive, so eventually what has been working for you will stop working for you, especially if you take a tool like a calorie deficit and continue to use it over and over and over again without taking times away from using that tool and use another more appropriate tool to dissipate the diet fatigue created from being in a deficit for a prolonged period of time. And due to the fact that the body adapts to what and how you feed it, it makes sense that you would benefit from periodizing our nutrition, especially in terms of our calorie intake and our states of energy balance, to ensure our bodies stay receptive and responsive to what we're doing. And the reason why I use nutritional periodization to transition clients between different phases is because this provides them with a strategic approach to their nutrition that includes phases focused on specific outcomes that help them get to their long-term goal in a more effective and efficient manner. An example of one of the most common long-term nutritional periodization setups that I use with clients is to start them off with an initial pre-fat loss primer phase, which I covered in detail on last week's podcast. And then from there, once we have completed the primer phase, their body is more responsive. And, we've upregulated all the downregulated systems they had, and then also worked on the bottlenecks and anchors that were holding them back previously. Then we go into a fat loss phase. Then once they've lost a significant amount of body weight and body fat during that fat loss phase, which generally will range between 5 to 10% of total body weight, I'll transition them into a recovery or a reverse diet or even a maintenance phase to reverse the diet-induced metabolic adaptations they've sustained from being in a deficit. And then after their biofeedback has improved and I've been able to work their maintenance calorie intake back up higher to where it was at the end of a fat loss phase when their total daily energy expenditure was suppressed due to having lost a substantial amount of weight, we'll sit down, we'll reassess their goals, and for many of my clients, we'll shift our focus towards building muscle so that the next time they decide that they want to diet down and get lean, they're able to unveil a more muscular, leaner physique, which looks better, performs better, and that they're happier with. So we'd go from a maintenance or a holding phase into a building phase so that we can focus on building muscle and we can focus in, or shift the focus on, rather than just what your body looks like, what can your body do and how well can we push your performance in the gym? And oftentimes, after a long period of being in a building phase, I'll reset things by taking my clients through a mini cut. Or if they have a longer term fat loss goal, we'll go back into a fat loss phase. But now they're more responsive to that next fat loss phase than they were previously, as we've spent a substantial amount of time eating at or above their maintenance calorie intake. And we've also dropped off all of the diet fatigue they had incurred and accumulated during their last fat loss phase. And within that, seeing as we've been out of a deficit for so long, we've also reversed the metabolic adaptations they previously experienced during that last fat loss phase. Now, keep in mind, each of these phases take time and are being done to potentiate the results of the next phase to come. The process of nutritional periodization also allows us to focus on what needs to be done in a specific phase to get you to your short-term goal, such as in the case of a fat loss phase where we're trying to, really maximize lipolysis or the loss of body fat. And that's the main goal at the time. And that's what we're going to pursue. However, I will only run a phase for as long as a client is benefiting, responding, and making progress within it before transitioning them into another phase, which will help them recover from the previous phase they were in. I also do this so that we can work on a new goal, which not only helps from a physiological perspective. So, say someone is metabolically adapted, we can reverse those, but also it helps from a psychological perspective as it provides my clients with a new goal to aim for so that they stay motivated and engaged in the process. Because honestly, anyone out there who has been in an extended dieting phase or has been through chronic dieting cycles will know over time, your motivation drops, especially as it becomes more and more challenging to make and see tangible fat loss progress, which is why so many individuals become less adherent over time, which ends up having like this negative downstream effect. So you not only feel, more discouraged, and so you're getting more challenged by the process and you become less adherent. So now you're seeing that progress is stalling even more, but then it's leading you to seeing even less results, feeling frustrated, and bouncing between periods of weight loss and weight regain. Taking a periodized approach also means that I include phases within the year where I focus on programming clients' nutrition in a manner that helps them recover from the stresses imposed during previous phases, where they've pushed themselves hard to elicit a specific adaptation, a specific response, or a specific, physique outcome, which is generally seen most during fat loss and muscle gain phases, where essentially we're utilizing the extremes of the caloric intake spectrum. So we're going from a state of being in a deficit to a state of being in surplus, and that is taking the body out of homeostasis in both cases. And I will often utilize either maintenance or holding phases in order to accelerate a client's recovery between phases, which I utilize not only for the purpose of recovering their system and reversing some of the negative metabolic adaptations sustained during the previous phase, but it's also done to maintain the positive adaptations that they attained during that previous phase, and so that my clients learn how to spend a substantial period at maintenance where they're practicing maintaining the results they've earned in the previous phase, which is something many of them haven't been able to do in the past on their own because they've always been on one side of the spectrum. They've always either been on the dieting end of the spectrum or on the other. You know, they go through these period swinging from extreme to extreme. So they're either on the dieting pendulum or they're essentially all in on their fat loss phase and they're losing body fat, or they've completely fallen off and are rapidly regaining weight, which prompts them to want to go right into another fat loss phase. But often all this does is perpetuate a chronic dieting cycle. The next topic I want to cover is how and why I use nutritional periodization within a fat loss phase, as this is a phase that I commonly use a periodized approach to nutrition within it to maximize my clients' results while also managing their fatigue. And this is being done in an effort to make the process more effective and efficient, but also to help them adhere to it because fat loss comes from consistently adhering to a deficit. When it comes to designing a nutritional approach for the goal of losing a significant amount of body fat while maintaining muscle, I found it effective to utilize the principles of periodization and autoregulation within my clients' fat loss phases. Throughout the course of a fat loss phase, I'm consistently collecting data and assessing it to determine the amount of diet fatigue a client has accumulated over the course of that fat loss phase. And when it comes, you know, it starts to become visible that it's impacting their fat loss results, their performance, or their ability to adhere to the diet themselves. I will implement a dietary deload of sorts in the form of maybe high carb days, refeeds, and or diet breaks, which I often refer to as a deficit deload, in order to mitigate that diet fatigue that they're experiencing. So just like we can't expect to progress our physiques in terms of building muscle by linearly progressing our training week in and week out, year round, as the body can only withstand so much progressive overload and hard training without needing a break and a deload to reset and resensitize our muscles to the stimulus of training and also to drop off the fatigue we've accumulated. The same thing can be said about how the body responds to a constant deficit during a fat loss phase. And this is where taking one step back out of the deficit to take multiple steps forward by applying a periodized and autoregulated approach to nutrition is something I found to be really helpful and beneficial as it helps to refresh them mentally and physically. It helps with dropping off their dietary fatigue. It improves their training performance and also helps them adhere better after taking some time and getting out of a deficit and eating at maintenance. Next up, I want to discuss the benefits of practicing eating at maintenance during a fat loss phase, which is something I think is often overlooked, as many times when someone is focused on a fat loss related goal, they will take extreme methods to get to their goal, such as slashing their calories, underfueling themselves, and trying to diet in perpetuity, not realizing that often this approach continues to set them up to encounter one of two situations. The first situation is they'll go into an aggressive deficit, which they can only sustain for a few days before caving in and overeating for a day or two, which is a common situation we see with those who diet really hard Monday through Friday, but then they veer off track on the weekends, which results in them not seeing the body composition and fat loss progress they desire. And then the second situation, which is as common or even more common, is a dieter who white knuckles their way through a fat loss phase, but who hasn't developed the skill of eating at maintenance. So as soon as the diet is over, they revert right back to their old dietary habits and behaviors and regain all the weight they worked so hard to lose. And essentially, they're right back where they started. And often you'll hear trite statements like diets don't work or that we have a weight loss issue in society today. However, if we actually look at the research on the efficacy of using a calorie-controlled diet for weight loss, we see that 6 out of 7 individuals who go on a diet will be able to lose a significant amount of body fat. However, many tend to gain back what they lost after that diet has ended. So in actuality, the problem is that diets don't work and they don't help us lose body fat, but more so, the issue is twofold. The main issues stem from how most individuals approach dieting and then how they go about trying to maintain the results they achieve during their diet after it's all said and done. And this is due to the fact that so many people want immediate results, so they resort to quick fixes and extreme diets where they lose a substantial amount of weight, which includes both fat mass but also lean mass. And this is done in a short period of time using unsustainable approaches, which doesn't allow them to cement the habits necessary to maintain the results they've achieved. And this is why I'm a fan of using nutritional periodization principles and intermittent dieting strategies like refeeds, diet breaks, and deficit deloads during fat loss phases as a way to help my clients practice eating at maintenance. During the course of a fat loss focused diet, my goal with increasing calories back to maintenance is to provide clients with a physical and mental break from the rigors of dieting, as well as to help them gain experience of what eating at a maintenance level of calorie intake will look and feel like, so that they realize that they can maintain the results as long as they don't completely discard the positive habits and behaviors we've built through the process of this fat loss phase. And I also consistently speak about the importance of focusing on the process of body transformation and body composition improvement rather than just on the results themselves. And this is due to the fact that by focusing on the process and on the positive habits a client needs to develop to be successful, I'm able to get them to implement new sustainable behaviors into their lifestyle, which leads to lasting results and a better relationship and approach to dieting in the future, where we're able to avoid the mistakes they've made in past diets and in the past in general, and avoid the dreaded post-diet rebound and body fat overshooting effect, which is where you gain back more body fat after finishing a diet than you actually lost during the fat loss phase itself. We just discussed how I integrate periods at maintenance within a fat loss phase to make these phases easier to adhere to and to yield better results long-term. But the next topic I want to cover is how to improve your body composition progress by periodizing your fat loss phases. So I not only use periods at maintenance during a fat loss phase themselves, but I also use a similar strategy between fat loss phases and to transition clients out of a fat loss phase. I'm a big advocate of having an exit strategy in place for clients after they finish the fat loss phase and have attained their goal of a leaner physique. And one of the most effective strategies I've found to help clients transition out of a deficit, yet to maintain the results, recover from the deficit itself, and to set them up for a greater likelihood of success moving forward, is to utilize a post-fat loss maintenance phase. And a post-fat loss maintenance phase is a phase which lasts several months where we work on achieving the stability of a leaner body composition and lighter weight than you were prior to the start of your last fat loss phase. And during this phase, there are several areas I focus on with my clients. So first, I'm aiming to get them out of a calorie deficit by increasing their energy intake back up to maintenance. Also within that, I'm looking to increase their energy availability to dissipate the physical and mental fatigue that they've accumulated during that last diet. I'm also focused on fueling them in an effort to improve their training performance, which will drive their body composition progress even more. And I also am focused and I really want to improve upon their biofeedback, such as their energy levels, sleep quality, stress management, things of that sort, recovery capacity, which often can take a hit during a long diet or where you've gotten very lean, especially if you've done something like you've just completed a fat loss phase for a photo shoot prep or a competition prep, things like that. And I'm also looking to help them avoid the dreaded post-diet rebound many have experienced during past diets prior to working with me. And based on how high the diet recidivism and post-diet weight regain statistics are, which find that anywhere between 80 to 95% of individuals who lose weight will regain all the weight they lost, I truly believe having a post-diet exit strategy in place is necessary, as I'm trying to make sure the clients whom I take through a fat loss phase are in that rare 5% of individuals who maintain their results rather than go through cycles of weight loss to rapid weight regain where they continue to lose and regain the same 30 pounds every year as so many do in the general public. So I believe that anytime someone has lost a significant amount of body weight during a diet, which would be anywhere between, say, 5 to 10% of total body weight loss or more, they should go through a post-diet maintenance phase, especially if your goal is to not only lose body fat, but also to maintain that fat loss. So what we have to realize is this is extremely important because at the end of a long diet, we're in a situation where we're generally leaner than we've been previously and have induced various metabolic adaptations that leave us predisposed towards drifting up towards our previous body fat level if they go unaddressed. So we experience many physiological adaptations and psychological adaptations after a diet. We're going to experience heightened levels of hunger, increased food focus. And also from a metabolic perspective, our total daily energy expenditures decrease, which now has lowered our maintenance calorie threshold. So if you just give in and go back to eating the way you did prior to the fat loss phase and back into a surplus, you will rapidly regain body weight and body fat and undo some of, if not all, the hard work that you did and the results you achieved. And so just because your fat loss phase is over doesn't mean you stop following a diet. As we have to realize, we have to separate the term diet with deficit, because a lot of people, they associate one, both of them to be the same essentially. And really when it comes down to it, the diet is simply an approach to nutrition, which matches your goals. So we're essentially just trying to max our actions to our ambitions from a physique perspective and also managing that and matching that with our nutritional actions. And so once the diet is over, I like to first get a client back up to their new maintenance calorie intake by increasing the amount of foods we've been using and having success with during their fat loss diet. From there, I like to monitor their biofeedback, their performance, their energy levels, and body weight increases to see how they're responding to the increases in calories that I'm making along this phase. And it's important to realize that both maintenance calories and body weight maintenance are ranges, not exact numbers, which many don't realize. So when it comes to your maintenance calorie intake, this isn't a static or set number, as many can maintain their body weight and body composition between a couple hundred calories. So it's not like someone's maintenance is exactly 2,400 calories. This can be a range between, say, 2,300 to 2,500 calories. And for some, this range can be even greater and wider. Another concept that many misconstrue is what body composition and body weight maintenance mean, as many think that in order to achieve maintenance and to be successful with maintenance after a diet, they need to maintain the lowest body weight they achieve during a fat loss phase, which just isn't the case. So I want to clear this up. And so your lowest body weight at the end of a fat loss phase is confounded by a number of factors, including the fact that you've been in a deficit, so you're consuming less food and less total carbohydrates than you would consume during a maintenance phase. You also have lower glycogen stores and have less water being stored in your muscles. And also, because you're eating less food, you have less food residue and less food weight within your gut. And all of these factors make for your body weight being lighter than it would be if you were eating at maintenance. So the issue with trying to maintain the lowest body weight you achieve during your fat loss phase is this is a weight that you only achieved at the peak or the end of your fat loss phase, when you were usually at your lowest calorie intake and had the lowest levels of muscle glycogen and less water weight that comes along with the storage of muscle glycogen. This is important to realize when transitioning to maintenance, as you will gain a few pounds back during this period just due to increasing your carbohydrate intake, which will bring water along with it, and also from increasing your total food intake, which will increase the amount of food in your gut. So these are all things that are contribute to a higher weight on the scale, essentially. So when we speak about going into maintenance, it's important to realize that body weight maintenance is not a clearly defined single number, nor is it the lightest body weight you achieve during your diet. So for example, in the literature, weight maintenance is defined as a weight change of between 1% to 3% of body weight. So say you finish your diet and you finish that diet with your average daily weigh-in weight of 150 pounds in the last week. The act of maintaining your results during this post-diet maintenance phase means you stay within 1% to 3% of that weight, so that your body weight would be between a range of 151.5 to, say, 155 on average. This is something that's important to realize, as often your weight will change within a few days of going back to maintenance, especially if your goal is to drive your training performance and build muscle. And we know that that's going to require, an increase in energy, but also we're going to increase your carbohydrate intake to accomplish that. And this is because for every gram of carbohydrate stored in your muscles as muscle glycogen, it needs to pull 3 to 4 grams of water along with it to be properly stored. So say I have a client losing weight at 1 pound per week during the latter stage or the latter half of their fat loss phase. If I increase their calorie intake by 500 calories and did so by a carb increase of 125 grams to get them back to their maintenance calorie intake, then they're bound to regain some weight due to the fact that they're not only going to store those 125 grams of carbohydrates as muscle glycogen, but they will also pull in another 500 grams of water. So in total, this will increase their scale weight by approximately 625 grams, which is around 1.4 pounds. However, seeing as this calorie increase brought them right back to maintenance, and it was done in the forms of carbs being stored as muscle glycogen, the increase in their scale weight that they see isn't due to fat regain, but rather due to a restoration and replenishment of muscle glycogen and the water that's stored in muscle, as muscle is made up of 75% water. So they haven't actually gained any fat, which is something that many are unable to objectively realize and extrapolate out. And in reality, they've actually gained lean body mass. So if they went and had a DEXA done, it would register as an increase in lean mass, which is exactly what we want to see increases in, especially after your diet. So overall, I think having a solid plan of action post-fat loss phase is especially important for those in the general population, as often they've gotten leaner through the diet, but not so lean that it's unsustainable or unhealthy. So really what they're looking to do is maintain a leaner physique. And by properly executing a maintenance phase, it allows you to get used to living at maintenance and maintain a lean physique in the process, rather than losing a bunch of weight and then rapidly rebounding up as so many have done in the past. Next, I want to cover the benefits of running a maintenance phase, as I think this is something that's massively overlooked in the nutrition and fitness industry. For those who have had the goal of losing fat, building muscle, and improving their body composition, I believe spending a period of time eating at maintenance calories rather than always trying to swing between being in a deficit and being in a surplus is extremely beneficial, especially if you're someone who wishes to drop a significant amount of body fat. Although many have the goal of losing body fat and many may find dieting, the dieting process difficult, most don't fail in the actual process of losing fat and losing body weight. We see statistically that around 86% of people will lose a significant amount of fat over their lifetime, but on average, only 5% of people keep it off for an extended period of time, which shows that most people struggle more with maintenance, not actual fat loss itself. And this is why I believe taking a phase where we focus on maintenance after the fat loss phase has ended is as important or even more important than the fat loss phase itself. Often I'll find that many of my clients want to maintain a lean, healthy physique, and that's their number one goal after we finish a fat loss phase. So when this is when a maintenance phase is useful and implemented, as it allows you to maintain much of the results you got from the fat loss phase while also allowing you to eat a higher calorie intake and some more flexibility, which improves how you feel, your performance in the gym, your ability to adhere to a plan, and most importantly, your quality of life. And beyond those benefits, maintenance phases also provide us with additional benefits, such as it helps us to get into a better routine and put a better overall structure in place. And this is beneficial as many fall off the wagon because they're always bouncing between periods of undereating to overeating. And they never spend enough time practicing what it's like to eat at maintenance and eat the things they enjoy in moderation rather than overindulging and eating them in excess. However, by spending a period of time eating at maintenance, it provides us with an opportunity to restructure your lifestyle and not focus so heavily on having to be in a deficit and restricting calories. Maintenance phases also help you to build better habits where you have everything in place prior to going into your next phase, which helps you essentially set you up for success to have better progress within that next phase. Maintenance phases also allow us to spend an extended period of time focused on eating enough and fueling our training. And that's also going to help us to improve our training performance so that you can build more metabolically active muscle tissue, which not only is going to help you look and perform better, but it's also going to help you be able to stay leaner while eating more calories because you've built this metabolically active tissue that has a high energy demand and a high energy turnover. Maintenance phases also help with improving health, biofeedback, and lifestyle factors. And I find that when I transition clients who have spent years chronically dieting back to maintenance, I'm able to help these clients improve various aspects of their lives, even beyond just the body composition perspective. From a hormonal perspective, we're able to restore and upregulate any hormones that were downregulated during their previous dieting cycles. We're able to improve their sleep quality, which may have dropped off during extended periods of being stressed and in a deficit. We're able to improve their stress management skills and invest more energy into building stress resilience. For my women, we're able to focus on getting a more regular menstrual cycle, especially for those who have suffered with diet or stress-induced amenorrhea. And then we're better able to manage their hunger and appetite due to eating. So spending time at maintenance also helps to prime us for our next dieting phase, as it allows for better training performance, better fueling, better recovery, lower stress, and both a physical and mental break from dieting and the feeling of restriction. So I think overall, a lot of individuals need to shift their viewpoint or perspective on maintenance, as there are a ton of benefits we can get from increasing calories back up to maintenance and then also staying there for an extended period of time. This leads me onto the next topic, which is the value of implementing periodic maintenance phases in your body composition periodization plan. The idea of maintenance is something that many fitness-minded individuals, whether that be bodybuilders, physique competitors, or even lifestyle clients and fitness enthusiasts, often tend to avoid or tend to overlook. And so, all too often, we view a maintenance phase as a period where we're regressing or we're not getting better or making improvements, instead of viewing these phases in a more objective manner and focusing on the many benefits they can provide us with. A maintenance phase is a period of time where you eat at a eucaloric level that doesn't aim at changing your body weight, but rather we're simply trying to match your calorie intake to how many calories your body is burning on a daily basis. And this phase is valuable and beneficial for every individual, regardless of their goal, as it acts as a period of time where you're able to lower systemic stress, focus on recovery and rest, and improve health markers that could be out of range from the previous phase you just finished. For those of you who are in a fat loss phase, transitioning to maintenance phase can be used to lower diet fatigue, increase training performance, and reverse some of the negative adaptations that come along with being in a deficit. For those in a growth phase who have been pushing to gain additional muscle tissue, a period at maintenance can increase insulin sensitivity, improve nutrient partitioning, and alleviate the loss of appetite and digestive issues that often come along with pushing food and eating in a surplus for an extended period of time. And for those who have been losing weight in an effort to make long-term changes to their body composition, their health, a period at maintenance can help you practice what life will be like after dieting and help you reinforce the positive habits you've developed throughout the course of the diet to stay fit and healthy in a sustainable manner, which you can actually achieve and then also maintain long-term. So by implementing a maintenance phase, you're giving your body a break and an opportunity to reset and recover, which will in turn potentiate progress in the future. So I encourage all of you out there who have yet to try a maintenance phase to stop avoiding this phase of nutritional periodization that has so many benefits. There's so many positives to it, especially many of you don't even realize because you have yet to go through it. The last topic for today's episode that I want to go through is I want to go through some of the research that we have on the benefits of going back to maintenance, especially if your goal is to lose body fat and maintain a leaner physique. So much of the research we have on strategic periods of going back to maintenance finds that it can help with long-term sustainability and weight control, as well as weight loss maintenance. So the first study that I'm aware of that looked at the concept of getting out of a deficit and going back to maintenance was by Wing et al. In 2003. And in this study, they wanted to look at the concept of weight loss maintenance. So instead of having these participants diet for 6 months to a year straight, as so many dieting studies do, and often within these like long uninterrupted diets, these result in worse adherence and a high rate of weight regain. They wanted to see the effects of interjecting periods where they'd get these individuals out of a deficit and how that would impact their dietary success. So in order to test this, they divided them up into three groups. They had one group that dieted straight throughout the entirety of the study. So they were the continuous calorie restriction group. So this is very similar to what most research studies do. Then they had one group who was a long break group, who spent 6 weeks during the middle of the study outside of a deficit maintaining. And then they also had a short break group, which took 2 week long diet breaks throughout the study. And the results found that the weight loss outcomes didn't differ between groups from the start of the study, even up until 5 months, as well as 11 months, despite the two groups taking breaks out of a deficit and going back to maintenance, as compared to the continuous group that stayed in a deficit throughout the entirety of the study. So despite the maintenance groups technically being in a deficit for a shorter period of time, they still made efficient and significant fat loss progress. So it wasn't like they needed to diet year-round to see the progress that the continuous dieting group did. Next up, we have a study that was released in 2018, which is referred to as the Matador study. And this is a very appropriately titled study because what it stands for is an acronym, which stands for Minimizing Adaptive Thermogenesis and Deactivating Obesity Rebound. And in this study, they took obese participants aged 25 to 54 and had them go through a three-phase trial. The first phase was a four-week baseline phase to establish their maintenance calorie intake. They then divided them up into two groups to compare continuous energy restriction with intermittent energy restriction and their effects on weight loss outcomes. The continuous energy restriction group spent a prolonged period of time in a deficit, whereas the intermittent energy restriction group spent an equal time eating in a deficit as they did eating at maintenance calories. So throughout the course of the moderate part of the study, the intermittent group spent more time deliberately and intentionally eating at maintenance as compared to the continuous group. And both groups spent the same total length of time eating in a deficit over the duration of the entire study, but they were at maintenance calories for vastly different amounts of time. So, for example, the continuous dieting group was at maintenance for 12 weeks and were in a deficit for 16 weeks of the study, whereas the intermittent group was at maintenance for 26 weeks as compared to 12 weeks with the continuous group, and they were also in a deficit for 16 weeks of the study. After both groups finished the study and they had measurements taken. They also followed up with them 6 months after, where they were in a free living environment and back to their regular lifestyle. Now, when we look at the results, those in the continuous group lost 9 kilograms, with 8 kilograms of that being fat, whereas that intermittent group lost over 14 kilograms on average, with 12 plus kilograms of that being from fat mass. So those in the intermittent group that had a longer time eating at maintenance not only lost approximately 50% more total body mass, so scale weight, but they also lost approximately 50% more fat mass. The intermittent group also retained a larger amount of their fat loss post-diet. So once the diet had ended, the diet group, so essentially the diet break group not only lost more, but they also kept more off 6 months later. And when we look at the amounts both groups regained after the diet had ended, the intermittent group had only regained 3.5 kilograms as compared to the continuous group that had gained almost double it with 5.9 kilograms. So overall, the intermittent group maintained over 10 kilograms of total weight loss, whereas the continuous group maintained a bit over 3 kilograms of total weight loss. Now, when we look at like a metabolic perspective, the reduction in resting energy expenditure between groups on an absolute level did not differ. But then when they accounted for the change in the body composition between groups, which needed to be done because the intermittent group lost far more fat mass and body weight than the continuous group, they found that the decrease in resting energy expenditure, aka metabolic rate, was less in the intermittent group. Now, here's the thing. The massive difference that we see in fat loss between groups can't actually be explained by the differences in metabolic adaptation, as the intermittent group who took breaks at maintenance may have preserved more of their metabolic rate, but the differences in metabolic rate would not account for them losing over 5 more kilograms on average. So what the findings of this study suggest is that those who spent more time at maintenance were better able to adhere to a deficit during the time periods where they were focused on fat loss. And this is also reinforced by the fact that they maintained more of their weight loss after the diet had ended. So once the dieting period had ended, they were much more successful overall, which is most likely a result of having practiced eating at maintenance for so long during that study, which made it easier for them to do so after the fat loss phase had ended and they had left the observation of the researchers. So overall, research finds that for many with the goal of losing fat and keeping it off, spending periods of time getting out of a deficit and eating at maintenance can be highly beneficial. So it's well known that seeing linear progress within a fat loss phase is highly unlikely, meaning You won't see the same loss in body fat and weight in and week out, especially for someone who spends chronic periods of time trying to stay in a deficit. Yet many still take this like reductionist approach, this linear approach to dieting for fat loss, where they just keep cutting calories and increasing exercise month after month after month, even year after year, even when they're no longer seeing results, as they're so focused on this goal that they believe that keeping their foot on the gas all year long is the best way to achieve it. But in actuality, the fact is, you cannot stay in a calorie deficit year round and expect to see continuous results and also not suffer ramifications and consequences of doing so. And this is because taking an approach which has you chronically dieting year round will eventually lead to a situation where you've increased your likelihood of losing muscle tissue while speeding up and exacerbating a lot of the negative metabolic adaptation your body goes through during a diet, which includes decreasing your calorie expenditure, slowing your metabolic rate, lowering thyroid levels, ramping up your hunger, among many other effects that make the process ineffective, unsustainable, and unhealthy. And this is why I take a more strategically periodized and phasing approach with my clients. I found that by using nutritional periodization during a fat loss phase, that it makes it a much more effective approach to the process of losing body fat. And this type of method ensures you have periods of being at a deficit where fat loss is our main goal, periods at maintenance, which could look like a multi-day refeed or a diet break to maintain the fat loss you've achieved while also helping to aid in recovery, improving training performance, and also lowering global fatigue. And then also we have periods where we get out and we eat in abundance. So we have periods at a surplus, such as during a building phase, where we work your calorie intake up to fuel your performance and build lean tissue. And so using the principle of nutritional periodization and periodizing your approach to your body composition progress will not only make your dieting phases more manageable, but also will make the process more effective, especially when it comes to maintaining training performance, limiting the amount of chronic stress and dietary fatigue you induce on your body and mind, and getting to your goal in a more sustainable way possible, so that you're not only able to lose weight, but you also have a greater likelihood of that weight loss after. So guys, as always, thank you for listening to the show. I hope to God this podcast comes out well, because this is the second time I'm recording it. I actually had my computer crash the last time that I tried to download the show. So I actually recorded this at 5:20 this morning. So this is Monday. This is Monday evening at this point. But this morning I recorded this entire podcast. It was over an hour long. And then I went to the gym. I had the podcast downloading and I came back. My computer had crashed. So I'm praying to God that this one comes out. But as always, guys, if you need anything from me, you guys can find me on Instagram at BrandonDeCruz underscore or through my email, which is bdecruzfitness@gmail.com. And then also, please, guys, remember to leave a review, preferably 5 stars, through the iTunes app. And also within that, I'm going to be linking up with a sponsor for the show to give a supplement giveaway out. So anyone that submits a review within the month of January, you will be entered into that. I just have to work out the details in terms of what product we're going to be giving away and things of that sort. But it will be an evidence-based supplement brand that I'm aligned with and that I believe in their products. And so, as always, guys, thank you for your support. Please make sure to leave a review, follow the show, and then also, if you could, share the episode on your stories, tag me for sure, and then also share it with someone that you care about, someone that you want to see them make 2024 a better year than 2023 was. And as always, guys, I hope you have a great week. I'll talk to you later. Peace.